What's up, EDM champions? Episode 113 coming your way on Beyond the Beats. We got a ton of new music to talk about from David Guetta, Excision, and Matroda. Plus, we have a really dope conversation with the co-founders of Radiate, the number one social networking app for ravers. Let's jump into it. EDM champions, do you hear that in the background there? Yes, that's right. We are kicking off this week's episode with the highly anticipated release of David Guetta and Morten's future rave remix of Guetta's classic track, Titanium. Here we go. Dude, what a massive track to start off the new music section with. I have been waiting for this remix to drop for so long. And you know what I love, man? It's like you still have the power and the essence of Sia's voice from the original, like the 2011 original. But dude, David Guetta and Morten, they knew that they had to preserve those vocals in the most respectful way possible, and they did. But they gave it this new level of intensity. Yes. I just never knew that this track could get to that level, and it's there. This is such a powerful remix, man. I absolutely love this track. What are your thoughts?
I agree, man. I mean, they've made this track purely epic, right? It's to like almost to the biblical sense. We're talking about a true odyssey here. What an amazing remix of this track. I mean, I like you, I never would have thought it could reach this height in terms of just feeling epic, but I believe it was on one of Insomniac streams that I first heard David Guetta do this. Was during the pandemic. It was a live stream. I can't remember. Do you remember which one that was, Samir, where he first debuted this?
I don't know if it was an Insomniac live stream, but I know he did play this at one of his Rave at Home live streams when he was on top of like that massive hotel in Dubai.
That might have been the first time, because I've definitely seen it on an Insomniac stream. Okay. I just can't remember when the first time was. But regardless, I'm just happy that it's finally here. To be honest, like I wasn't sure if he was ever going to officially release it, but I'm just glad that he has.
Me too.
This week, as well as for Morten. I mean, shout out to them. What a bang up job that they've done with this one. But my man, we've got a fantastic conversation lined up with Radiate coming up. So I definitely want to go through this new music section nice and briskly here. Okay. So the next song that we've got coming up, it's a little bit of a switch up here, going over to the bass head world and dubstep world. It's Excision and Kai Wachi teaming up for another highly anticipated track from them called Demosaur. Give it a listen.
Dude, I have a feeling that Excision's going to open up his Lost Lands set with this bad boy.
Probably.
It's very fitting because it's got that prehistoric theme to it. You know, like Demosaur should kind of give you an inclination about what the song is all about. But I will say, like, that sample talk about dinosaurs makes absolutely no sense with, like, that vocal shot right before the drop. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because on one hand, talk about, like, fucking stegosauruses and whatnot. But then all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, fuck this, fuck that, blah, 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 blah. And that's cool, but it's so ill-fitting, dude. Nonetheless, this shit had me headbanging as I was making my green juice, you know, some nutrients. What do you think of this song, dude? What's going on?
Yeah, I think you're spot on there with your analysis about how the dinosaur talk before didn't quite work with the drop. It was very ill-fitting. It was, you know, like I understand that's the theme of the track, but I wish they just kind of lent a bit more, you know, leaned a little bit more into it, rather than kind of just like, right, let's put it in the beginning with this narration and then have this nasty drop.
You know what would have been really dope? Like, I'm sure you've seen Jurassic Park, like that T-Rex like roar. If they put that shit in right before the drop, let's fucking go. Like that is what they should be thinking about, not like that vocal sample that's like, we're gonna fuck it up, fuck
I agree. That would have been, that you talk about epic, that would have been truly epic. I don't understand why they didn't do that, but
come on, Steven Spielberg, clear that sample. Clear it.
I'm sure they could have gotten away with something similar, but You know, on that note, man, that kind of ruined the song a little bit for me. I wasn't really that with this. I'm not gonna lie. It sounded a little bit generic for my liking. In terms of a lot of other, you know, dubstep tracks that I've heard from both Excision and Kaiwachi, there was a lot of hype around this, and to be honest, I was expecting more. I'm not gonna lie. It sounded good, I guess, but like, come on, like they were really hyping this up. I thought they'd really make something special, like, and as you said, like the T-Rex roar or just other little interesting samples really could have made this track, and just like the details, man, the details were missing, and it kind of just felt like they rushed into a drop that I've almost heard before. Like, I'm not gonna lie, if I didn't know this was them, I'd think this is a number of other dubstep artists, right? Like, there's nothing really differentiating about this song.
Fair enough.
And I thought they would go that extra step because, you know, the whole dinosaur thing is really in brand with Excision. So I thought this would be kind of like the epitome of Excision and then Kaiwachi coming in there, but nothing really that special for me, man. Like, I was a bit disappointed, not gonna lie.
Alec is a fucking hater.
I know, these last couple episodes, I've been hating on some of the music a little bit.
I know,
more.
You've been hating on some of the bass music for sure, but Alec, let's turn that frown upside down, because who are we talking about next? Who just dropped an EP?
Oh, it's none other than our main man, Matroda. Just dropped the part two, second edition to his Jack the House EP. And Samir, my friend, what are we going to play from this? Because quite a number of good songs on here.
I gotta say, dude, I think La Pasión was my favorite track off this EP. Let's give it a spin, baby. Let's go.
Dude, I'm glad that you like this, because, you know, I'm also a fan of who he collaborated on this track with, San Pacho. I think we've talked about him once or twice on the podcast before. In my opinion, I think it's somebody who is flying a little bit under the radar. You know, definitely has got like a lot of support, but I think in the mainstream EDM media and things, doesn't really get too much support. So I want to show him some love. So I'm very happy that you decided to pick that track to play, because it's got that sexy feeling to it. He's got that typical kind of, like, you know, Matroda and Sam Pacho as well, that kind of switch up with the bass house in there as well. So I thought that was really nicely done. And I also want to give a quick shout out to some of the other tracks there. I thought Revelation, which started off the EP, very, very strong. And that was a heavily, you know, that was a Matroda only and single off that one. He just really nailed that. That's got the Matroda sound all over it. And I thought the Play the Music one was interesting as well. It used, you know, it's a very commonly used sample in house music, kind of that narration to it. So champions, definitely go check out the show notes, get the links to that so you can take a listen to it, so you know what I'm talking about here. But overall, very, very solid EP. Nothing game changing, but, you know, I think it pushed the boundaries just enough and kind of continued that theme of the Jack the House that he's been going, that it really is on brand and I think is executed very well. I mean, just everything here was just executed very well, in my opinion. What did you think?
Yeah, I had a lot of mixed emotions with this one, dude. You talked about some of the high points in this EP. Play the Music, La Pasión, like we just played, and Revelation, all great tracks. You know, I got to say, some of these tracks, though, they sound very cliche to house music, man. Like, storytelling, you know, I feel like we've heard those sorts of sounds before, and then that vocal sample saying, you know, it's all about house music. Yeah, no shit. That's why I'm listening to this EP. I don't need you to tell me it's all about house music and that, you know, you love house music. I get it. I've heard that before. High on You is where this EP, that's the third track, started to sound a bit more meshed together. Nothing new there. Then La Pasión came in. Then Play the Music. Great tracks. But then the last track, Your Mind, just another one of those tracks about house music playing with your mind from like a sexy vocal. Nothing new. Mm-hmm. So half and half for me, bro. Half and half for me. We just ran through some brand new spanking music, because, you know, this is Beyond the Beats. This is a podcast about EDM news and culture. And a big part of this show is that we got to play some brand new music for you all. And of course, we got to have guests who are paving the way. Mm-hmm. 100%. Changing the way that we connect with this scene, and we are so, so amped up to have the founders of Radiate, a social networking app specifically geared towards ravers, and these guys were so much fun to talk to. We're going to bring them in just a little bit, but before we do that, my good friend Alec Prieto, how do the EDM champions get connected with us And how did they get connected with all this great music that we just talked about? Let's get into it.
Oh, well, you've got to go to our website, beyondthebeats.co, and navigate yourself over to the show notes menu and section where you will find this episode and all of the others that we've done. We're into the hundreds, man.
Oh, let's
go. It's unbelievable. But then you can also find us on social media. And please, if you do, give us a follow, but also reach out to us. We want to engage you. We love engaging with the community. So on Instagram, we're at btb.pod. On Twitter, we're at podbtb. And a major, major announcement.
Oh,
here.
My God.
A major announcement. This is massive. I've been pushing for this. Internally, our team has been pushing this for a very, very long time. But my friend, Samir Sigot, he is now on Twitter. What's your handle, my friend?
My handle is Samir_BTB. You can expect some of my hot takes all up on my Twitter. Feel free to give me a follow.
For sure.
Shit posting, hot takes, sure. And honestly just opening up about what I love about the EDM scene and what I don't love. So yeah.
Oh, that's a massive one. And then just likewise, we have nice symmetry going on here. I like that. That's another word we should add. Symmetry.
I like that.
Use that more. Right, not just synergy.
Symmetry.
Yes. TOS is on the podcast.
Right on. Love it.
So yeah, you could say we've got some real symmetry going on here because my handle is now, I mean, my whole identity is tied to Beyond the Beats now. It is now at Alec_BTB.
I love to see it. I love to see it. And you know what else I love to see, Alec?
What's that?
Dude, I love to see people connecting with each other.
Yes.
You know? And yes. That is what our guests, the co-founders of Radiate, Phil and Michael, are all about. Mm-hmm. All right, they created this app to help EDM lovers and what we like to call EDM champions connect with one another, people who are passionate about the same things in our scene, right? And you know, man, what is better than just getting a whole squad together of people, new friends, making some freaking merch together, man? Having a flag that you all can wave high and proud up in the air that represents your squad, your newly formed squad. And let me tell you all something. The good people at festflags.com, FESTFLAGS.com, they're on a mission to do just that. They will help you create your own customized flag for your rave squad, some cool bandanas and other gear. And best of all, you get 10% off when you use our code BTBPOD. So that is festflags.com. Head over to their site, enter the code BTBPOD, and make that hot gear for your squad. All right?
I love that. That was beautiful, man.
Thank you, man.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
We're big, big fans of Fest Flags over here. And just the last bit of housekeeping before we move on to our conversation. We are taking next week off.
We're off, right?
We decided we need to rest the old vocal cords, but also
vacation time,
baby, because guess where we are going? Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, we are heading over to the lovely windy city that is Chicago for the very first rendition of the Arc Music Festival, the house and techno lineups that you may have been seeing going across social media recently. They've been really hyping it up in this past week. So we will be there, and you can also expect some content coming out from us. However, nothing on the podcast feed. So definitely head over to our socials to keep track of what we are doing.
Absolutely, Alec. I love that. Thank you for letting all the EDM champions know about that. And furthermore, check this out. We got a BTB session dropping tomorrow as well. We got Ben Wah, baby. New Jersey native, now LA based. I love it because we were connecting with him, our love for New Jersey right there, man. But he is dropping a Beyond the Beat session on our SoundCloud, and that will be linked in the show notes. That's coming out on Friday. Hit follow on our SoundCloud. That way you don't miss a notification for when that mix comes out because that shit is spicy.
God, thank you for adding that. We just got so much going on. I love it. Absolutely love it. It's an amazing, amazing mix.
That's right. And you can hear Benoit's music building up in the background as it is about to transition us over to our conversation with Phil and Michael from Radiate, the premier social networking app for ravers by ravers. EDM champions, enjoy our conversation. All right, EDM champions, we are joined by Phil and Michael,
the founders of Radiate. You already know Radiate. You know Rad the Rhino. You know that you've made festival friends through their app. They're all about promoting a sense of connection with one another. And you know how we are too. We love to connect the EDM champions with the scene, with the music. So I just feel like, Alec, this is the perfect synergy right here, man. Radiate and Beyond the Beats coming together to talk about how connective of an experience the dance music scene truly, truly is. And without further ado, I'm going to toss it over to Phil and Michael. How are you both doing today? Let's hear it.
After that intro, I'm feeling good. I'm hyped. Yeah, I'm
love it. Love it.
It's been a good day so far.
Really excited to be here, honestly. Like, finally making this happen. You guys are awesome. Let's talk about connecting people and doing EDM things.
Absolutely. Phil, why don't you start us off? How did you get involved with Radiate? Like, where did this idea come from? What was the journey like?
So it's a pretty natural journey. Michael and I have known each other since we were 12. Give or take. I'm like a year or two older. So he was 12, maybe I was 13, but right around there. And we both used to fence together. So that's how we kind of like knew each other. Fast forward years, we graduate from college and we resync back up in New York. And at the time, I was doing a website called RefFinder where you could hire your referees online. Michael was a software engineer. He had just graduated from Harvard.
So I was an engineer. And then I started like working on this other kind of app to connect people around like local communities. So, I mean, we both used to fence, so connect people through fencing. I think the bigger picture was like, in terms of connecting people, at the end of my senior year was like, oh shit, like I squandered all of these social opportunities. I really want to meet new people. I just got to the city. So I forced myself to talk to every single person in the elevator for like a whole year. And then after that, I was like, wow, like there's really something here. Like people really actually want to connect, but it's like pretty hard. So I was like, okay, I want to build something, but it wasn't really sure like exactly like the right way to go about it. Cause you can't just make Tinder for everything. So I was like a few months into building kind of this general community app to meet people. And then like at the same time, like we reconnected.
Mm-hmm. And when we reconnected, it was because my co-founder from my other company joined the Navy, but not just like the normal Navy. It was like a nuclear submarine. So like no emails, no pushing code. It was kind of like, you know, game over from the engineering standpoint for what I was doing. And so Michael hit me up to party because he had just moved from Harvard and we'd known each other for a while. And so I think we went to your first rave, right, together?
I think so. Yeah. Well, first legit one.
First legit one. Yeah, first legit one.
And what was that? Who'd you see?
You know, I don't
hold me
accountable to this one, but I want to say it might have been like Cosmic Gate over at like Pier 4, something like that. It was awesome. It was a good time. We had a good time.
That was fun.
Yeah. So we reconnect because we partied together. My co-founder at the time for RefFinder joins the Navy. I saved up a little bit of money and I was like, you know what? Like, screw it. I'm tired of like working like the 9 to 5. I'm going to like learn to code and finish, you know, basically build and code RefFinder to do what I wanted to do, which was like hire referees across all sports, like across football, basketball. Still a good idea. Nobody steal it, please. I want to do it like 3 years. Michael's a software engineer at the time. He has a group of awesome friends who also develop. Mm-hmm. So Michael invites me. They would hang out after hours at Google. He invites me over there and I start to learn to code. And during that time, back in the day, like maybe like 2013 or so, I had an idea for, I'm not sure if you guys have ever played the game Guess Who? Red hair. Nope.
Yep.
Cool. It's like it's an American like kids game where basically you try and identify characteristics of the other person's like card that they pulled, and then eventually you match and then you win if you can guess who it is. So I played this game when I was little. I met this this girl at a music festival. For like 3 days in a row, we would just connect, right? Like, we didn't exchange numbers. We'd just be walking and we'd be like, what? And then we'd go off and we'd have a great time. But we never exchange information. Even like on the third, like the last day, for some reason, just didn't exchange info. So what I wanted to make was like a missed connections app where you could be like, I was at this stage. I met someone named Cara. She had blue hair. Jeans. I mean, her name was Car. You have blue hair. It was Jeans if you're listening. And if they were us on the app and they put in what they were at and what they were wearing, then you guys would match. So it was like about finding people after you met. So I tell Michael this idea, and then he basically goes like, well, that's cool, but like, why not just make Tinder for festivals? Like, it's super easy to build. It's literally just cards. And I was like, yeah, man, like, let's just do that. And so he built it pretty fast. We gave it to like our friends. We talked to our friends about it, and the feedback we got was, hey, this is really cool, but I'm looking for a ride. I'm not sure what festival I want to go to. It'd be great if there's like a community of people I could ask. I already have a boyfriend, but it'd be great to meet new people and go with them. And so we looked at each other and basically said, well, life is about so much more than dating. Why do we have to make a platform just about dating? Why not make it about community and bring people together? And like, we're human, like sex, love, rock and roll, it happens, right? It's just like part of being human. So once we kind of made that switch, we listed a bunch of things, right? So like, there was the Harvard Yale football game. There was New York City.
Also, well, so the first, like, when we launched, it was actually at this festival called like Electric Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And like, people were using it around that, but it was like the end of festival season. So we're like, okay, like, we gotta like, yeah, there are some festivals, but like, let's try like, a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, like, I mean, I went to Harvard, so we put the part, like, I got my friends to email the house lists to like tell people about it. And yeah, like, some people like met up and like for the Harvard Yale game, but like the community, there's like a variety of things. The community wasn't the same. And yeah, so we kind of did that. And then, we put like NYU on. I mean, like, we've been in New York this whole time. So, we're just doing the things that we know. And then what really like made us believe like, oh wow, okay, like, this is something, like, this is gonna like really happen, is this, this festival cruise ship called Holy Ship.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Have you guys been?
No, never have, but I really want to go.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
I'm sure it is. I've only heard good things. So what happened at Holy Ship?
Yeah. So this was like early stages of Radiate. So, our app, we have it on iOS. It had launched like a few months ago. I was still working at Google, at the time. We hit them up and we're just like, hey, like, Can we partner with you guys, like, be your like flap and yada yada, because we have like information and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, that'd be awesome, cool, but actually no, because there's no internet on the ship, so whatever.
right.
So what we did was like say, we have all of our infrastructure, so like, why don't we like try to create an intranet on board? Mm-hmm. So we basically like replicated our entire like infrastructure onto like a desktop computer and like made a bunch of sketchy code to like do things. And then we hustled the line right before Holy Ship. And we're like, hey, you have internet, like, you can have internet and like meet people on board. Like, just go to the atrium and connect to Rad the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And the cards were very much in Holy Ship branding, allegedly. So very much like an official thingy, allegedly.
Yeah.
And so we gave it to everybody. We were able to get, I want to say like over 50% of folks ended up using the platform.
Wow.
What happens is we have this giant bag. Like, it's not like, to explain, like, an intranet is like, you basically can connect to a database that's local, right? The internet means you can connect to like things outside of your little network. So what we had to do is bring, like, it wasn't like a little desktop computer, right? This is big red.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was a big desktop computer.
Oh, yeah. It was also like 1,000 foot of Ethernet cable and routers and switches.
Yeah.
And it was in, long story short, like if you're like, oh, like, what is the likelihood that there's a bomb in there? Like probably pretty, like, if you from the outside, it was like, yeah, it was pretty sketchy.
It was a giant black bag filled with wires. Yeah. It was weird. So anyway,
TSA tape all over it when we took it out from checking.
Yeah. So we put it on the boat. We realized the bags don't come to us. So we have to go downstairs to the, I think these like Dutch guys, it's an international boat, right? So like, it's not like TSA. It's like some, like, look like James Bond guys who would like throw you in the back until like the cruise was over. So like, we go down there, and we're like, hey, like, our bags aren't here. And like, we see it in the corner and we're like, it's that one. And he's like, what is this stuff? And we basically, use the correct phrasing to suggest that we should have this stuff and that it's to make the event better.
Yeah.
And they give it to us. So
wow.
We bring it up to the atrium. We start setting it up. And the only last hiccup that kind of happens is we're plugging in, everything's like hooked up. We're plugging it in and we hear like a pop. And we're like, oh. And basically, I think we kind of blew a fuse of some sort.
Yeah. It was I think it was European power outlet, differences in voltages, something like that.
Even though we had all the right things, something happened. Yeah. So that happens. And I guess that triggers like security to be like, oh, look, something's going on. So
this, also, we look sketchy, to be clear.
Yeah, we look super sketchy. Like, just dragging these wires over places. Yeah,
I think like we were wearing hoodies too.
Yeah, definitely. No.
You guys, this is like the perfect storm of just getting like literally shanghaied on a boat.
Yeah. So this one giant security guard, like I said, all these guys seem like out of James Bond, like he's bald, giant, dude, comes over and he's like, what are you guys doing? And give him the same spiel. But this time I have this recorded because I had a GoPro. I was recording everything. Just to like show what we do. I have to find the footage, but I have it on camera. Yeah. And I basically tell them, we're here setting up this app so that people can like talk to everybody on the boat. And he calls it in, tells them, and then he's just like, okay, like, cool. Yeah. That was that. So we hook it all up. And it ended up working.
You all were able to sneak on this very sketchy computer setup onto a cruise ship, and able to get it connected and get, I think you said 50% of attendees signed up onto the Radiate local network then and there. The first sort of major exposure of the application. Mm-hmm. And you guys are crafty about it, and here you are now, right? So what was like the growth like to get to the user base that you're at right now? Like, what did it take to get there?
Yeah, so that story that we just told, we can't do that for every festival.
You don't say.
So we did that. So this was, this was a while ago, January. This is like
2016?
Yeah, January 2016. And then we went from 100 monthly active users, basically meaning like our friends, to like, oh wow, like I think there were like 100 people on at the same exact time, like during Holy Ship or something like that. And I was obviously freaking out because I was like, oh, like everything's gonna break, which it may or may not have. So this was January, and then there were two Holy Ships that year. I don't know if there still are, like every year or two. But there was one in February. So we did it again, and like much more streamlined. And then I quit Google to do this full time because it was like, okay, like, I have like a little bit of a safety net from the last 2 years. This is growing, like this is something, like let's make this work.
Yeah, so that was like the first time I think we got to see it, right? Like Tommy Trash like came up to us in Holy Ship and was like, do you know how many people you got laid? It was sick. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's like, it was the first time I like really saw it, so.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so we're like, okay, like now what do we do? Made a few changes to the app. And then when we really started taking off was when we made like some Instagram ads. And also like, this is the beginning of like Instagram ads. So they're like, super cheap. And also like the ones that, we ended up making that worked. I think some people might have seen it because we've been running it for a while, but it says Radiate, it's not Tinder for festivals.
Yep, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And it's really not that pretty of an ad. Like Michael and I made this in the NYU Bopes library, like maybe like, I don't know, 1 a.m. or like randomly, just like, put like a little logo on it. If you've seen it, it's very like, we would not have made that.
Yeah, I've seen it before. I've seen it out in the wild, but it works. Yeah.
I mean, with ads too, like the less design, like the less ad-like it looks, the better it works.
Yeah, that's one thing we've learned. So we make this, we make this ad, and I think over the course of like a few months, we end up like 20xing in a sense. Like it became like a real product, right? Like a real network of people. Overall to where we got to now, aside from COVID, where we definitely was not the same growth level.
Of course.
It's been like, I'd say like a fairly like a natural growth rate, right? So it's been one of those things where, like, Michael and I have also learned this whole time, right? So, like, one thing that we learned in the very beginning is the only thing we did was festivals, right? But you would get on for a festival. Let's say you're going to like Bonnaroo. You'd use the app for the months before. You'd use it for the weekend of. You'd use it for the week after. But if you didn't have a festival coming up, you'd churn, right? So, you know, we noticed that probably about like 6 months in. And then we released what was called, or what is called, Radiate Local, where you could connect with people outside the context of just an event, right? So like the reason I say natural is because it's been one of those things where like Michael and I built like a metaphorical boat that is Radiate, and like we would just plug the holes, right? Because it works. Like people get on the platform, and really kind of like in the very beginning, the thing that we had to figure out was like retention. How do we keep people on afterwards? So, you know, we noticed that, plugged up one of the holes, gave people like a reason to connect locally. Then we started listing, you know, more and more types of like events. Yeah, so like Dylan Francis.
Squads. Well, which are recently renamed to group chats.
Yep. So yeah, those group chats help to keep people, you know, engaged and give them a way to connect with each other outside of just the events. Then we started listing artist tours. Like the first one, I think, was it was either Valentino Khan's House Party or Dylan and Francis and Alice in Wonderland's Lost My Mind tour. Mm-hmm. But helping people connect more on a local level, which is kind of what we're starting to do now too, with more venues. So it took, you know, it's been positive growth every year, you know, since like we started. Sans COVID,
right?
Because your time, but so I think it's been a fun, not easy, but fun educational time of growth.
That's very interesting, because I think you're in a very important, very interesting time of your company's growth, right? So just on a more like, you know, 1,000-foot level, how do you see technology, you know, whether it's VR or, you know, apps such as yourselves, influencing and changing the culture? Like, do you think there's going to be a lot of change in the dance music culture as a result of it? Or is it going to kind of just reinforce currently what we have?
I mean, EDM culture is old, right? Like it goes back to like, I want to say like, even like, well, don't quote me on this, I'm sure it goes back even further, but like at least like the 60s, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same culture, but like, you know, maybe the clothing has changed. Maybe the way people make their music has changed, but you still walk into Bonnaroo and give a high five, right? So I don't think tech's going to change the culture of EDM, but I do think it'll enhance it, right? Like even now, like with Radiate, right? This is a way for people who might have felt alone in like their country town, they might be the only festival goer, to connect with other people that, you know, maybe live close by, right? So that enhances the culture, but it's still the same culture as it was before we were here. So I think that's how I look at it. You know, now if we like really like fast forward, right? And like, you know, maybe there's like a Matrix style thing where I want to go to a show and I hop in my tube. Maybe that changes the culture a little bit, but I want to say like, even in my head at that time, like it'll still be the same type of culture. I'll just be experiencing it in a different way.
Yeah. It's just enhancing it. Like whatever is there, like people want more of that, or like the reasons that they want to be in the culture, they're going to want more of it, and technology is going to enable them to do it. So like, you know, one thing, especially with virtual stuff, that, you know, we've been trying to solve with Spaces is that, the serendipity when you're watching a live stream is just not there. Like, like if I go to a show or a concert, like, yes, I really enjoy the music, but the music is more like it's there as a like way to connect with other people who also like it. It's like the cornerstone, the anchor. And then like, you know, like that's like, you know, maybe a third or maybe half of the experience, but then the rest is like the friends I go with, the bonds I make with them, the potential, like maybe I meet my, you know, a future lover, a future best friend. Maybe I just like end up in like some DJ's house party who I didn't know, and now like I have a new job. Like if you're just watching a live stream, like you're not gonna get that in Twitch chat. Like, so with Spaces, like that's what we wanna take that first step. But at the same time, we realize, look, like we can't do everything yet. Like, you know, we can't serve you alcohol in Spaces. Yeah. So like, we're not going to try to do that. So it's just like, hey, like, where is that boundary of like, this is still useful and enhancing, and not like, oh, like this replaces everything. Like just go here. Cause then like, you're going to set yourself up for disappointment if you expect everything from a live event here. So you just take out the pieces. Mm-hmm.
I love what you just said about how a big part of the live event experience is connecting with other people, because I just went to my first show in like 14 months right here in San Diego. And I was just talking to Alec about it on this week's episode of the pod, saying that I couldn't, I almost forgot what it was like to connect with strangers and just instantly make some new friends. And that feeling just felt so damn good. So, you know, as leaders in connecting people in the dance music space, I want to ask you, like, what is it about the dance music scene that sets it apart socially and culturally from like other genres of music or even just communities outside of music? What is it about our scene that just makes it so just so yearning for connection?
I think it's just the openness and the way that it like started. Like anything that starts in like with a subculture, right? Like, you know, it started like underground, like small. If everybody likes something, then it's no longer like a reason to like be able to like connect like meaningfully. Like if you're just like, oh, like, you know, are you from America? And like someone's clearly from America, like you don't have that extra reason to like go out of the way to like meet them in real life. But like, you know, with dance music and with the ones that started underground, like, you know, when you find somebody else who's in the culture, you just immediately like have that connection. I think like dance music, I mean, not necessarily better than any other like genres, but just like definitely dance music really did a good job of like continuing that and perpetuating it. And like, just, you know, especially with festivals, like as people start going and as like, you know, the bond forms between these people. And as, you know, like each person in society come back and it's like, oh, these are my people. It just becomes this awesome thing. And then here we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, here we are. And one more question for you all, because I know we got to talk about this, right? So we've already talked about Radiate Spaces. We've talked about how you all are helping people connect with one another at local events. But even just beyond like attending live events, Radiate is doing such a great job of helping people connect with other people in the scene that have similar interests just outside of the live event space. Could you tell us a little bit more about some of the really interesting communities that you all introduce? Because I think some of our EDM champions would love to get involved in some of those communities. For sure.
Yeah, totally. So that was an exciting, I guess, development. So the most recent, like, largest feature release that we came out with recently, that, like, is live and not just kind of, like, being beta tested in a sense, are these communities. And communities were ways for people to connect with each other, again, outside of context of just an event or outside of context of I just live in the same area. So a few of the communities that were created are, like, Flow Arts. So there's a community of thousands, let's say, of flow artists, and it's a centralized place where you can come and meet other flow artists. You can show your flow, ask questions, get advice. It's one of my favorite communities, even though I personally don't flow. It's one of those where it's like just great to see people doing their art. I've definitely thought about buying a hula hoop of a sort, but I haven't done it just yet.
Doesn't it look amazing though? Like it makes you want to buy one. I'm right there with you, Phil.
You get to see other people. And like, you know, there's a bunch of flow meetups that happen in California now. So that was one of them. There's a bunch of communities built around like music tastes, right? So there's the Headbangers and Bass Connoisseurs community, which is, as it would describe, a bunch of bass connoisseurs with their pinky up, talking about, you know, their bass shows and you know, the Wubs and all the dubs and different music and shows that are coming up. So it's cool to see people connect around that. There's techno, you know, communities. And then there's even like a festival fitness community where it's a bunch of folks who are into kind of like health and wellness, discussing like their workout plans, what they eat, their diets, showing their progress pics. So it's pretty cool. I think one thing we you know, is, I guess, I mean, it's maybe some people think it's controversial, but I think it stands true is that events don't necessarily have communities, but communities have events. In the sense that, like, if Coachella went bankrupt, that doesn't mean there'd be 300,000 people who don't go to music festivals anymore, right? They just try to replace that Coachella experience because it's part of who they are. And I think one thing that kind of led us to this and unlocking like additional communities was thinking about that and knowing that, you know, people want to connect even if they're not at that event, right? And events are, you know, incredibly important, right? Because like the Coachella experience is the Coachella experience. It would not make 300,000, or like a different experience might not bring 300,000 people together. But it's just one of those things where we know, and based off these communities, we've seen that people just want to connect with each other if, like you were saying, they have the similar interests with each other. It's just really hard. It's really hard after college, definitely, to meet new people, right? Like I know since I was a little kid up until college, I think school and activities and, you know, sports all brought me together with new people with similar interests. But once you graduate from college, you kind of lose that, you know, daily link, right? Whether it was your school or it was your, you know, band class or it was your sporting event, it's all kind of goes, and you have to create these new like social building blocks. And so that's one thing that these communities kind of are, right? It's a way for you to find those people with those similar interests.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm actually part of some of those communities as well. And I just got to say, it's really awesome to be able to connect with people who have like-minded interests, even within the dance music scene itself. So,
yeah.
And I love what you just said, Phil, about how it does become difficult to connect with people like post-college and post-schooling, because now you kind of have to be self-sufficient, you know? Yeah. And a big part of the way that I meet people is through like attending dance music events. And I just love how Radiate has become an extension of that for me to be able to meet people. So absolutely wonderful work that you all are doing there. And we really hope that the EDM champions get plugged into what you guys are doing, because we're going to have links to the app, to your social media accounts in the show notes. So make sure you all head there, make an account. Let's get connected. And we know that it's not a party without some music.
Hey,
and
here we
EDM
go, baby.
Champions, we're at the final section of this episode. And you all know, anytime we get up on the microphones, we got to get some underground music into your earballs. And guess what? Not only do we have Alec and I with a selection, we also got Phil and Michael with their own selections as well. So four new artists to put onto your radar. Doesn't get better than that. Alec, do you want to kick us off and tell us who you are watching for the artists that we're watching list? Let's hear it.
I do. I wish I could, you know, put this artist into an earball. I'm not sure what that is, Samir.
We got eyeballs, you know, we got earballs. We got
it's you know, something around there. But we got plenty of balls, right? Okay. But champions, wherever you want to put this artist on your radar, just make sure you have a note somewhere. Mental note, imaginary earball, whatever have you. Okay. Because as soon as this person's starting to tour in the US, you have to go see him. And if you're lucky enough to be in the UK, you've got to catch this lad straight out from Manchester. A huge amount of history in that city, from acid house, right, to tech house. But he is pushing the scene forward there. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, you can hear this catchy buildup in the background. This is Sanchez with his song Paranoid.
Paranoid, I thought it was really cool. It's kind of like tech house, right? So
yeah.
I mean, the hook is sick, the beats are sick, and it definitely is unique sounding. So I enjoyed it, and I'm happy that you sent it our way. That's for sure.
I absolutely appreciate that, man, because I mean, you know, he's doing pretty big things. What I really love about his other music and his other discography is that he really incorporates you know, a Spanish sound to it as well. So I'll definitely put some links in the show notes for that. But this was a big release for him. This was on Gorgon City's Realm Records. So they clearly see something going on with this guy. And I've heard that he's a lot of fun to see live. So let's hope he's in North America soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think this song is just so fitting for Realm Records as well. I think it just fits right into that ecosystem so perfectly. All right, Phil, you got a massive pick for the artists that we're watching list. Why don't you tell us who you want to add on? Let's hear it.
So the artist named Shishi, he's actually a friend of ours from a while back.
Oh,
so like,
woo.
We all kind of started our like careers at the same time. So Shishi, his name's Ashish, was part of this kind of collective called The Breakfast Club with our buddies, who one is now Jenga, which maybe you guys know is bass
yep.
music.
Mm-hmm.
And our other buddy, Spencer's, who makes like techno. So they all started together, they play shows together, they've developed as artists in an awesome way. So Shishi though, his kind of like, he's, he makes this kind of, I guess, Indian tribal inspired music. So like a bunch of flute, just really awesome instruments, to be honest. So, I mean, I've been following him since we first met in real life, right? And his music is just getting better and better and better every year. So his most recent song is a remix of Lee Foss and John Summit's Summertime Chai, yeah. I think is what it's called. So yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I guess you guys will probably hear a little bit of the hook in just a few.
You know, honestly, I put this like a comment on the Google Doc that we've been working on. I am all about this remix. You know, there's just something about the incorporation of tribal elements into songs, especially if it's a remix of one that is somewhat lacking of that. It's just a cool, cool sound. And I hope that we see a bit more of it. And it's quite unique, right? Like, you don't hear too much of that in, you know, house music. And to be honest, I'm kind of shocked that I've never heard of your friend here. So thank you so much for adding them to our artists that we're watching list. I certainly will be keeping a very close eye on what he's doing.
We've known him for a bit, and like I still remember like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I think he like DJed at like some like Harvard Yale party that I was like helping organize or something.
That's dope.
And like it was like, you know, clearly not a tribal vibe, but like since then, yeah, like as Bo was saying, like his music's just gotten better and better. Like just keeps mixing in new stuff, keeps just like progressing all of his different beats and stuff. It's actually awesome.
I love that. I love that, man. I was a really big fan of this song, just because like those Indian flutes really touched me as an Indian man. Like, it's just really cool to hear instruments like that in this track, and I can't wait to get this downloaded and into my record box, because I'm gonna be spinning this one out in the comfort of my own kitchen, not at any club, but in the comfort of my own kitchen. Michael, keep the good vibes rolling. You went a little bit more melodic, a little bit more uplifting, and I love your pick this week. Yeah. Who do you have for the artist that we're watching list? Let's hear it.
My pick is Frank Walker. I think he actually has like a song that I think it's called like Gold or something. Like one that like recently like blew up, I think is with Loud Luxury. But the one that like got me hooked on him, I think it was like a year ago or something like that. I heard this song, Dancing in the Dark, and I just like, I couldn't get it out of my head. And like for, I think 2 weeks, I just had like that one on repeat. So me, I'm like a big fan of I call it happy music with lyrics. So I like really crisp vocals. So like as soon as I heard this, like the crisp vocals really like spoke to me. So he's a Canadian artist. I think he's been around for a bit, but I recently heard of him in the last year. I hope he, you know, gets a lot bigger.
So Michael, what is the song that you want to drop for the EDM champions?
Oh yeah, so the song I want to drop is Dancing in the Dark, Frank Walker. It's really, really crisp vocals, like right from the start. And you know, it's, as you know, you said, really uplifting, and I love it. Dancing in the dark, and I swore that I felt you. The shooting star, you were gold when I held you. But I'll be here, but I'll be here. Dancing in the dark, and I swore that I felt you. I want my heart on my sleeve like you said to. But I'm still here, I'll be here. If someone else is lost.
I love this song. I love this song, dude. What you just said, the crisp vocals, that is what really spoke to me about this track. It's just so fun and easy to listen to, and I just loved it from beginning to end. And what, you know what I love, man? You're throwing in some variety in here too. You know, you're kind of giving a little bit more of a down tempo feel out of all four picks that we had this week. So I just love that you're throwing in some variety. Alex,
I was just about to say this to me rings and feels just like a very crisp ruby grapefruit.
Oh, let's go, dude. Let's go.
Nice and chilled. You know that feeling when it's nice and chilled and you just, you know, pop it open. That's what this song feels like to me.
You know how much I love my ruby grapefruit white claws, man. You already, I got
we
a
have
fresh
a running
pack.
Thing on the podcast, by the way, just for context, guys, where we will compare songs to different flavors of White Claw in the hopes that they will sponsor us one day. And the fact that we like White Claw. So White Claw, if you're listening, there you go. Look at all this free marketing we're doing from this.
Dude, absolutely. I got a fresh pack.
White Claw too.
Yeah. We have some in our fridge over there.
Hey, what's your favorite flavor? What's the favorite flavor?
Do you have one?
I like black cherry.
Black cherry one.
They're all pretty good.
They're all pretty good. I guess, like, you know, if I had a choice, I'd probably choose the mango. Probably pop one of those.
Nice. So. That's a good one. I was going to say, Michael, in your red solo cup, is that a black cherry White Claw? It's okay. You can tell us.
It's a rum and coke now.
Love it. Love it. It is Thursday. It's a new Friday, so.
Well, you know, if it was earlier, we would have done that because we actually have a drinky game that we do on the podcast where and we would have had a lot of drinks already. Like if we say vibe, synergy, and there's a few other words too that our listeners gave us to do, we usually would have a drink. So maybe next time that you guys come on, we can schedule it for a little bit later, so it's a bit more socially acceptable.
Absolutely, because it's not even 10 a.m. here on the West Coast right now. So
you'd have to do mimosas to make it socially acceptable.
Yeah, see, shit, man, that would have been a great idea. Mimosas, maybe a little bit of brunch on the side too. You know, it'd be perfect.
Absolutely. All right, I guess it's my turn. I'm really, really excited about my artist that I'm watching pick this week. I'm talking about Manner, spelled MNNR. Here's what I don't get about artists in general. Why do they always remove the vowels? I don't understand what that shit is all about, but I love it. I love it nonetheless. And I love Manner's music. And this track that he released on Stamped Records, you wouldn't think that this would be on Martin Garrix's label, but that's where it is. And I have to say, like, I just love that, like, for me, this is signaling like a new direction for the Stamped Records label, because this is such a great track. It is house, but I don't know, man, there's something about it that just punches a little bit more than just your standard sort of bass house or house music. So without further ado, here is Manner's track, Can't Hurt Me Anymore. Take a listen.
You know, I was not expecting that drop at all.
Is that
when
shit
I
nice?
First took a listen to this. Yeah, it's very nice, man. Like, and as you said, it's got a little bit of, you know, the bass house infused in there. I really don't know kind of what elements he was throwing in there, but it works. It works very well. So I'm be very interested to see if Martin Garrix is going to start rinsing this live at some of his sets. Because as you said, it could be a step in a new direction, not just for the label, but maybe also for his sound. Because,
absolutely.
You know, I hope no one hates me for this. They probably will, but fuck it, I don't care. I think he's getting a bit stale right on some of his productions. I think he's starting to get a bit stale. So
I hate you for
hopefully...
that.
Hopefully.
I what, hate you for that.
What, Martin? Really?
I love it. I love his production. That's a whole other conversation.
We're
going to
open
that
can of worms on another episode.
Absolutely.
For sure. We're going to go at it. But honestly, like, great pick there, man. Phil, Michael, what do you think of this?
Honestly, I thought it was great. Like, I'm usually not like a huge like bass guy. Like, if it gets like too dubstepy, like, I'm not into it. But, you know, as you're saying, Alec, like it, you don't expect it because it's like, you know, like pretty chill, like not chill, but like pretty housey in the beginning. And then I feel like it has like a good mix of bass. It's not like a, you know, 30-second like. It's like just enough to add the contrast. Like, I think yeah, there's some songs where like it's just too a little too soft, and I feel like this one added that like perfect amount of contrast.
Love that. Phil, any thoughts there?
I just kept on going like, you can't hurt me anymore.
Yeah, well, and that too.
That's right. That's
but right. I think exactly like Michael said, like, it reminded me, like, how would you guys, what genre would you guys say this, like bass house?
I would definitely say bass house, but it's a little bit lighter than your run-of-the-mill bass house, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what I liked about it was like, I mean, I get down with all types of music. I can catch me at the bass show. My curls go up and down, you know? Like, I make it happen. So what was cool about this one was like, I got a little bit of that, right? With like those cuts where it would go like, and then like go back into the house. So I had a great time with this one. I listened to it on my subway ride over. It was sick.
Oh, hey, there love to hear that.
There
love
you go. But I could certainly see Martin Garrix playing this. Do you remember, Smear, when we were at, which EDC was it?
2019.
When he dropped, it was a little random, but it worked. But he dropped Knife Party, like unreleased Knife Party in one of his sets. So I could kind of see maybe him tinkering around with some of this sound. But just as you were saying, Michael, this is like, it's like a little sprinkle of bass. Not too much. Sprinkle it in there, you know?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. The push and pull is really nice in that track.
Yeah.
All right. We are at the end of this episode right here with Radiate. Phil, Michael, thank you so much for bringing, you know, great stories, great insights, positivity and good vibes. That's a big drink if we had some drinks in our hand right there. But before we go, we want to turn the floor over to you all. Did you have any final concluding thoughts for the EDM champions before we wrap up?
Well, it's not concluding. We'll see you guys later, right?
The conclusion is there is no conclusion.
Yeah.
Love that.
I don't know. What can we say? Just keep on meeting each other. Get back out there. Be safe, of course.
I mean, yeah, like the pandemic's ending and, you know, everybody's like probably like itching to go out, but at the same time, like, you know, I know I've like in certain circumstances forgotten how to be social, where it's just like, oh, like, you know, like, oh yeah, like I guess I used to meet new people, but just, you know, if it takes a little bit extra push to like meet somebody when you're, you know, going to a new show or to even go to the show in the first place, like just do it. Like no matter how, you know, used to staying in your house you are.
Yeah.
Love that. That's a great thought right there. Get connected with one another, and Radiate is the perfect place to get connected with ravers and new festival fam all over the world. EDM champions, we will have the links to the app in the show notes. Don't forget, and we hope you all are staying safe and being well and enjoying the resurgence of dance music. We can't wait to see you all on the dance floor real soon. Stay safe, keep dancing. Peace.